Om Shanti. Today I'm going to talk about Madhuban, and for all of us Brahmin souls, Madhuban is special. After Baba and Murli, Madhuban is very dear to all of us wherever we are in this world. And Baba says, like, once we become Brahmin children, Madhuban becomes our permanent red dress in this world. So why is it unique? Why is it special? What's the speciality of Madhuban? We can say a lot. I'm just going to touch on a few points. It's the one place that God Himself has come in the Sakar form and has provided nurturing to the souls. And also He continues to do it in the Avyakt form still. And you know, He has created this place for the Brahmin children, for all the Pandavas and the Shiv Shaktis, so we stay protected from the negativity and the vices of the outside world. He's created this as a fort of purity and yoga. And this place serves as the center point for creation of the new world. And bringing about transformation in the souls and to regain our self-sovereignty that we have lost. This is the center point for all those activities. And initially Pandav Bhavan was created as the what we call as Madhuban, and it's been the main administrative office since, and then later, due to expansion, other campuses were added on, like Gyan Sarovar and Shantivan. And Babdada has mentioned in one of the Murlis that Madhuban includes all three of those, because it's where the Muralidhar Baba has given Murli from all these places. So Madhuban includes all of these three holy places. And of course, Pandav Bhavan is very special even among these three, because it's been the tapasya bhumi for all the ancestor souls, Brahma Baba and Mama, and it is here that they have done their efforts and attained perfection from here. So that advantage we have in Pandav Bhavan. The atmosphere and the vibrations here are filled with the power from all the ancestor souls. And also Baba has mentioned, after Brahma Baba left his body, that the five elements of Pandav Bhavan have been purified, as Brahma Baba's body's five elements have merged into these. So that's, I think we all can still palpate those vibrations, and we can feel Baba's presence once we enter Pandav Bhavan's complex. And this, as I said earlier, Baba has created as a spiritual fort where we can stay protected from the outside negativity. And it also has a speciality that no outsiders, in the sense like those who are vicious or body conscious or indulging in worldly pleasures, they are not allowed to stay here. So that keeps the sanctity of the vibrations remaining even to date. And Baba has given several names to Madhuban. He's called it the VIP place on earth. Of course it is, because it's the Supreme Soul who has come here, and that's His place. So it is a VIP place. And the name Madhuban, as we all know, refers to, it's the garden or forest of honey or sweetness. And since Baba gives us the sweet knowledge and makes us into sweet mannered like deities, like He's transforming us from ordinary humans to deities who have all the sweet manners, and we are losing our bitter sanskars and the soreness in ourselves, so it's called Madhuban. It's also called the Vrindavan, where the gopis and gopis dance with the gopi vallabh. And it's the Indra Sabha, or the court of Indra, where He showers the nectar of knowledge on all of us. And there have been several memorials created in Bhakti Marg from Madhuban. Like one famous is the Chardham Yatra that is famous in Bhakti. And we all know the significance, the spiritual significance of the Chardham here in Pandav Bhavan. Just to briefly touch upon, like we go and meditate at the Tower of Peace to become powerful, to gain the might. And we go to Baba's room to meditate to become equal to Baba. And the history hall, when we go there and meditate, we are able to get rid of our waste thoughts quickly and gain the vibrations of all the ancestor souls that have been here. And when we visit Baba's hut and have a chit-chat, spiritual chit-chat with him, we are able to feel light and get rid of the burdens that we carry. And these are the four special places that Baba often refers to that we have to, you know, we can visit even subtly every day and multiple times a day whenever we want. But there have been several other things, like Baba has also created a small garden when Baba was here with like different flowers, shrubs and fruit trees, where Baba liked to feed the children himself from the fruits of his garden, from the Pandav Bhavan garden. We all know about the significance of the grapevine that was there near Baba's hut. And coming to the topic, Madhuban being the spiritual garden, how is it different from other gardens? Or like when we go to a garden, we feel like refreshed and relaxed and more akin to the nature. And here, this is unique that this is a spiritual garden that Baba has created. And God himself is the master of this garden, and Brahma Baba is the gardener. So both of them together have created this garden. So it is very special, and it's all consists of a variety of flowers, which are all living spiritual flowers. And Baba says all the gardens, which are, there are very famous gardens in the world, around the world, but nothing is comparable to this special garden that Baba has created. Everything is only temporary, even if there is beauty. And no garden in today's world is anywhere close to what we see in Satyug. That's in the physical sense. But in the spiritual sense, this is the unique garden which we see only in this auspicious confluence age when Baba creates it. And so here the speciality is that Baba turns us from thorns into flowers, and we're all our Brahmin souls in different stages. You know, some are transforming from thorns into buds. Some are in bud stage, some are fully bloomed flowers, and Baba says some have even become very ripe fruit filled with the nectar of knowledge. And we see the examples of dadis in front of us who just their vision is, you know, fulfilling to us and enriching to the soul. And Baba takes so much care in creating the spiritual flowers and nurturing them. And he gives us the color. Like, what are the qualities? Like, what do we see when we see a flower? Is we see its color, we see the beauty or the form of it, and we get fragrance. Those are the three main characteristics of a flower. And Baba nurtures, like how he sees us children as flowers. He's describing it in, he's given a few descriptions of it. One of the descriptions he's mentioned in some of the Murlis is that the color of the flower is based on the knowledge, like how much knowledge we have imbibed and how much we have become an embodiment of knowledge. To that extent, our spiritual color is determined. Like, for example, like, you know, if we only have inculcated some of the knowledge, we may be of a dull color. And if we have become an embodiment of knowledge to a greater extent, then we have a very attractive spiritual color. And then Baba mentions that the fragrance and the beauty is from the extent of becoming an embodiment of yoga, and how much embodiment of divine virtues we have become. To that extent, our fragrance spreads. And Baba also describes about the different kinds of flowers. A garden is not just doesn't have a single kind of flowers. You see different kinds of flowers. So Baba describes his children as like some are as sunflowers, the spiritual sunflowers. Some are as spiritual roses, and some are like spiritual jasmine. So Baba's description of a spiritual sunflower. How are those souls? Those souls have their minds always tilted towards the sun of knowledge, the spiritual sun. So they are always, attuned towards Baba and nothing else. And spiritual roses, Baba describes as those with color, beauty, and fragrance. And they have become the embodiments of knowledge, and also they lead a yogi life. So it becomes natural when you have both knowledge and yoga and you become embodiments of it, like you serve naturally. Just as we when see a fully bloomed flower, we get attracted to it and we are pleased by it naturally. It doesn't have to do anything to get our attention. So that's how spiritual roses. Baba talked a lot about the spiritual roses, and I'm going to go into a little more depth a little bit. And he also said about like jasmine or chamele, the different kinds of flowers. These flowers have a lot of fragrance, and they are like very pure and white colored. So these are some of the different qualities. And as I said earlier, some of his children have already become like ripe fruit filled with knowledge and serving. So Baba says that every flower is special in this garden, but he wants us, he wants to see all of us children as spiritual rose. And he is signifying like, why is a spiritual rose different to other flowers? Like in the physical sense, like Ruhe Gulab, I couldn't find the English translation of what it is, but it's a special kind of rose which is very fragrant and beautiful both. So Baba refers to that as a spiritual rose, which is filled with all the three specialities. Like we have become rich in dharana and yoga, and also embodiment of knowledge. And in a different Murli, Baba has described that when he sees different flowers, some flowers give the fragrance of yoga, that they're more like, you know, more into yoga, and some are more in jnana, and some are more in dharana. So he's very descriptive, and like he twists the words and descriptions in different Murlis differently. But I think we get the essence, like he wants to see us as embodiments of knowledge and yoga. That is, he wants us to be both sensible, that is knowledgeful, and also essenceful, which is we have made that into practical form and brought it into our lives. He wants to see both of that. And Baba says, in some flowers, he sees that, but then it's not eternal. It happens and then the flowers wilt. So he wants us to have that qualities all the time. So Baba says, just as eternal Baba is and as eternal we souls are, he wants us to have that stage and awareness to be eternal. And here Baba also describes like what is the basis of fragrance, that is yoga, remembrance. And he said like inculcation of divine virtues and becoming embodiment of that. But there is another aspect Baba touches upon, is the aspect of purity. Like to the extent to which we are pure is how much fragrant we flowers are. And Baba as mentions, like purity here, he didn't refer to just celibacy, but it's being detached from our own body and also like all the relationships of the body, and also detachment from our weaknesses and sanskaras that we have carried since Dwapar Yug. So, and he also mentions purity is just not this, but anything that we touch upon, which is like even in thoughts, words or actions, which is false, waste or even ordinary thoughts about others, like, you know, other Brahmin souls, like in the Brahmin family, we tend to make a lot of like, you know, ordinary talk or ordinary thoughts during the day or like, you know, in a routine manner. But Baba says that even getting to that level is impurity. So just as Baba sees us all as elevated souls and divine beings that he's transforming us into, Baba wants us all to have that same vision for each one of us. He doesn't want us to look at others as ordinary souls or look at their weaknesses or even like any talk or, you know, think or do anything about waste and negative. That is also impurity. So when we remain free from this and we are able to be colored in Baba's company, that's when, you know, we are able to serve naturally like a flower does. Even within the Brahmin family and also in the outside world, we are able to color others with Baba's company that we have gained. And one of the things Baba also mentioned in one of the Murlis is that the basis for maintaining all these three qualities of the flower is to have that awareness or remembrance that you know, just like Baba is incorporeal, we also are, we have to have that awareness that I am an incorporeal being performing in this corporeal form. When we are able to maintain that stage, that is the stage of the soul consciousness in our life, then that's it. We are a spiritual flower automatically. And Baba says this is just the first lesson. You have to become in pakka in the first lesson and that's all you need. And again, Baba is merciful, so he says even the least beautiful or the last flower in his garden is still very dear to him. And he, once we say my Baba, he gives us like multi-million-fold love and nurturing. So it's a constant process and we have to check ourselves. And some of the things that Madhavan, why we get refreshed here and also we get rejuvenated with all the vibrations that we, you know, get from here. It's easy because this, as I said earlier, even the five elements are being purified here and are filled with the vibrations of yoga. So we are freed from laboring. We one thing is we are, you know, free from our jobs and we are free from the outside world, the regular busy routine schedule. And that's free in the outside sense, but we are also free in the inner world that we don't have to fight and labor getting rid of all the negativity and all the, you know, the waste thoughts that we get because of the pure vibrations here. We can get rid of them easily. And, you know, just being in with this nature, the spiritual environment, we can be close to both, you know, subtle region and also our home, Paramdham, by being in Madhavan atmosphere. And also we are free from the bad company of the outside world, which is, you know, because we are away from it here, and also we are freed from the bad company within ourselves, like all the weaknesses and the bad sanskaras. So it's easy for us. So we all feel refreshed and uplifted once we visit Madhavan, and it helps us in going ahead in our efforts much faster. And even we leave Madhavan, even after we leave, we are able to recollect these memories, and that acts as a lift for us to bring back our power and the qualities that we experienced here, and those memories will act as a lift for us even after we return. And I wanted to give like a few points for us to do self-check for a few minutes now. Like Baba has described us, and he sees us as these special spiritual flowers, but let us all check, like, are we in this intoxication that we are the spiritual flowers in the God's garden, like Allah ka bagiche ke phool hai hum? Are we able to stay in that intoxication? Let us check. And have we transformed completely into flowers from thorns? Like, what stage are we? Are we still in the bud stage, or where we are? And can we say for ourselves, like, what color we are, what the beauty and what fragrance we have, and how far we have become sensible and essenceful? And check, are we like wilting often? Are we coming under the Maya's influence? Like, what is wilting? It's just when we come under the Maya's influence and come into body consciousness, that is like wilting of the flower. So do we do that often? Are we able to remain as eternal flowers that have, you know, completely bloomed? So let us check on that for a few minutes while Brother plays a song.
Have the